Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I do every week, I will remind you again that we would be more than happy to send you a CD if you would desire one. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you would desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Also, let me say this before we pray, that if you didn't want to send a letter, you could also email me at pastorshowalter@aol.com. That will also get you connected to me, and then you can tell me what you would desire, and we can send it off to you. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come to your throne asking your blessing upon what we are about to look at. Lord, these studies are so important, especially for the day and age in which we live in. The study of the book of Revelation and seeing what's going to unfold in that book and during the days of the tribulation period. Father, in the midst of all of this, in the midst of what's going on in our nation, Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Know that this world is not our home, but we're just pilgrims passing through. Someday, Father, we'll be in your presence in eternity where there'll be no more division and strife and no more corruption, no more evil, no more wickedness whatsoever. But we're not there yet, Lord. We're still here, and so we need to be strengthened. And so as we study your word, we ask that you will use it to edify the body of Christ. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. Great to be with you. If you have a Bible, open it up, if you would, to Revelation chapter 12. That's where we're at. Let me remind you, if you ever want to come by and visit us at the church, our Sunday school starts at 9:30. Our morning worship starts at 10:30. Our evening worship on Sundays is at 6:30. And then on Wednesday night, we have Bible study and prayer meeting. So you're welcome to all of those. On Sunday mornings, we have been studying the book of Ephesians. We've got away a little bit recently, but by the time this airs, we'll probably be back into the book of Ephesians. Sunday nights, we're studying the life of Moses. We're following him from one end of his life to the other. Wednesday nights, we're in a study of the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 13 presently, and we have studied that book all the way through in an expository manner. So you're welcome to come and join us, or join us on our live stream on our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. You can get tuned in there. However you would desire to join us, we would be more than happy to have you. Okay, today, Revelation chapter 12. Last week, we were in this chapter, and we were looking at the significant characters of the tribulation period. That's what we find as we work through chapters 12, 13, and 14. These verses that we looked at, 1 through 6, they give us a preview of why the nation of Israel will be so severely persecuted in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Last week in our study, we looked at point number one, that was the spiritual war. We can see several characters which are going to play a major part in that war, in that tribulation period. The woman, if you notice, Revelation 12, 1 and 2, and there appeared a great wonder, a sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. The woman there is the nation of Israel. It's not the church. It's not the Virgin Mary. It is the nation of Israel. And the child is Jesus Christ. I'll get to that in a moment. The dragon, watch verses 3 and 4. There appeared another wonder, another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. The dragon is Satan. Now, the dragon description does not describe his looks. It doesn't describe his looks, but his character. The Great Red Dragon, that describes his character. Brutal and savage and dangerous. It describes his character. But we're told here that Satan, whenever he fell, he drew a third part of the stars, which would be the fallen angels. And there's an infinite number of angels that God created, so one third of them would be too great for us to count. So these are the fallen angels. These are the demonic spirits of the world today. Some of them are locked up. Some of them are locked up from what they did in Moses' day. There are several in the angels in the river Euphrates that we've already looked at. They will be loosed one day. But they are the fallen angels, and they are innumerable. The third person here is the child. The child which Satan desired to devour is Jesus Christ. This battle started clear back in Genesis, and it's existed since Genesis 3, 14 and 15. Listen to the verses. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life, and I will put enmity between thee. Now he's speaking to the serpent, he's speaking to Satan. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, ultimately that was Eve, but prophetically that is the nation of Israel. That's the woman of chapter 12 of Revelation, verses 1 and 2. So there's going to be enmity between Satan and Israel, and there's a reason. We'll go on. And between thy seed and her seed, the seed of the woman would be Jesus Christ. And God goes on. It says, it shall bruise thy head. Jesus will ultimately one day crush Satan and destroy him. And it says, thou shalt bruise his heel. And that happened at the cross. But it was this announcement that started the battle between Satan and the promised seed, who is Jesus Christ. And so there were many attacks that were launched by Satan in an attempt to kill that promised seed. Satan didn't know who it would be. He knew that it would be a man, because God said he would bruise his head and thou shalt bruise his heel. So Satan knew that it would be a man, but he didn't know who that man was going to be, and so, or when that man was going to be born. And so that attack was launched. He caused Cain to kill Abel. He caused Pharaoh to move to kill all the baby boys. When Jesus was born, Herod had all the babies killed from 2 years old and younger. All these were satanic attempts in an attempt to destroy the promise of the Messiah. Watch if you could, verse 4 again. Watch this. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, this verse goes back to Satan and when all the other angels were created. Satan fell shortly after he was created, and he had to have been created, I believe, on day one of creation. Now, let me show you why I say this. Job 38, 4, 5, 6, and 7 says this, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Then he says this, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars and the sons of God were there at the creation of the earth. And this causes many to believe that the angels were created before the 6 days of creation. But I believe the Bible teaches that the angels were created on the first day. And I'm going to explain why I say that. Just a little added information. If they were created on before the 6 days of creation, then there would have to be another day of creation. You understand that? If they were created before one of those 6 days of creation, then there would have to be a seventh day of creation. There would have had been a day whenever God created the angels. I believe they were created in those 6 days, ultimately on the first day. Exodus 20:11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number two, another reason why I say that they were created on day one. If Satan was created before the earth, then we'd have to ask this question. Where did he fall to? Where did he fall to? Listen to the words of Jesus in Luke 10:18. It says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. If he was created and if he fell before the creation of the earth, then I would have to ask, where did he fall to? Isaiah 14:12 says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? So just by looking at the Bible and looking at those verses, we get the idea that Satan, whenever he fell to the earth, he fell to the ground. So if he was created before the earth was created, and he fell quickly, he fell rapidly right away. God read his mind right away and knew what he was like, and he fell right away. And so if he was created before the earth, there would have had been another day of creation. If he fell before the earth was created, then you have to ask the question, where did he fall to? Let me go to number three. Paul places the angels in one creation event. Colossians 1:6, listen to this. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. This verse gives the idea that there was one creation event and not several. One creation event. Let me read that again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So that gives the idea that there was one creation event, not another creation event where the angels were created at another time. That you don't get that idea as you study the scriptures. But let me go on. Satan and his angels were created probably on day one, and they must have fallen shortly thereafter, because man was not on the earth very long until Eve was deceived and Adam deliberately partook of the forbidden fruit, and Satan took one third of the angels with him. Watch Revelation chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Watch this. And he brought forth, and she brought forth a man child. This is Israel, then, and from her comes the birth of Christ, comes Jesus Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, where they should feed her there 1,260 days. These two verses take us back to the birth of Christ. Then it goes to the ascension. And then the focus is on Israel in the second half of the tribulation, when she will flee from Satan. Okay, watch the events. Let me read the verses again. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. There's the birth of Christ, who was to rule all nations with the rod of iron. And that foretells that he would be the king of the kingdom. Okay? That talks about his 1,000-year reign on the earth. The verse goes on. And her child was caught up to God into his throne. That was after Jesus was crucified. So it goes from the birth, talks about the kingdom, then focuses upon Jesus' ascension whenever he's caught up to God. Verse 6 says, and a woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now you're in the second half of the tribulation period, whenever she flees from Satan. This brings us to where we are in our study today. Boy, there's a lot to gather here. I want to talk about the spiritual war in heaven. Watch verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. This is surprising to many people, but we can see this battle also. We see this same thing in the in the book of Job. And what I'm talking about here is that at the present time, Satan has access to part of heaven. Heaven is the last place where you would expect a war. But here we see that there will be a war between Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels. And so right now, at this present time, Satan has access to a certain part of heaven, which surprises a lot of people. But listen to the words of Job, Job 1:6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Let me read that again. There was a day when the sons of God, that would be the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So you see that he had access to a certain part of heaven. As we continue this section, we'll see one reason why he frequents heaven now. You're going to find that out here in a moment. But let me go to point two. What is the cause of this battle? I'll read verse 7. And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, against Satan, and the dragon fought and his angels. So you got Michael and the righteous angels fighting against Satan and the fallen angels. What's the cause of the battle? And I think there's two reasons for the battle which is fought in heaven. The first one is this. Satan has always desired to possess the throne of God. He's always wanted to do that. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says this. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exhibit my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is Satan's ultimate goal. And so all he does with this in mind. This certainly contributes to the war in heaven. He wants God's throne. But I believe there's something else here that causes the situation to escalate in heaven between the righteous angels and Satan and the fallen angels. That brings me to B. The battle's about Israel. The battle is about Israel. That's who he wants to destroy. Daniel 12:1, listen to this. At that time shall Michael stand up. That's who we find here. And there was, I'll read verse 7 of Revelation 12, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Daniel 12:1 says, at that time Michael shall stand up. The great prince, listen to this, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This verse in Daniel is referencing the very event of Revelation 12, which is the war in heaven. The point I want you to see is that Michael the archangel is the angel which was designated to stand for Israel. That's what we're told. Daniel 12:1 again says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. Who were Daniel's people? The Jews, the people of Israel. So Michael the archangel is designated to stand as Israel's protector. Let me give you another reference. Jude 1:9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. When Satan desired the body of Moses, he had to deal with Michael. Satan desired the body of Moses so that he could possess it, resurrect it, and then lead Israel down a path of destruction. This was another attempt by Satan to destroy the promise of the Redeemer. Now here's what I want you to see. Michael is the angel assigned to defend the nation of Israel. Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14, listen to the verses. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Then this is said about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. There, listen, Michael and his angels are the defenders of Israel. They fight the spiritual warfare for the nation of Israel. They fight it. He is their protector. Did you know that there are also angels assigned who defend us during times of spiritual battle? These are the forces at work within our world that science and scientists cannot explain. Now let me get you back to Michael. He's the angel assigned to Israel, and so here in Revelation 12, when Satan battles with Michael, we can be sure the battle is all about Israel. I believe, based upon Scripture, that Satan desired to do something to Israel, but the request was denied. Let us remember that he cannot touch God's people without permission. Luke 22:31 says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Satan desired to have to get to Peter, to ultimately destroy him. Jesus gave him permission. He said, "You sift him like wheat, and when the chaff comes to the top, I'll skim it off, and he'll be far more pure than he was whenever you started." Far more pure. But the point is, he had to get permission. I believe here in our text that Satan wanted to get to the nation of Israel. And he wasn't permitted, and that's what caused the battle. Listen to Job 1:9-12. Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and is increased in the land, and his substance is increased in the land. He put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan could only do what God had permitted him to do to Job. Here's a good application. This very truth applies to you and me also. There's nothing that comes into our lives that is not first filtered by God, that is not first sifted by God and approved by God. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Listen, everything's filtered by God before it gets to you and I. Let me get you back to Revelation 12. The war seems to be the result of something which Satan desires to bring upon Israel, and God says no. So Michael stands up, and there is a major battle. Point number three, what are the weapons which are used? This is something that we don't have the answer to. Angels are spirit beings, so they would not have physical weapons. They, however, possess some kind of spiritual weapons which are used in this battle. It could be this battle is fought with lies from Satan and truth from Michael. We don't know. We know that the truth of God's word is truly a weapon that is effective against Satan. Matthew 4:1-10 says this, "Then Jesus, led of the Spirit, went up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread.' But he," Jesus, "answered and said, 'It is written,'" here it goes, "'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' The devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus to him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Over and over, Jesus used the word of God to defeat the temptation. He used the truth. Ephesians 6:12-17, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Conclusion. Here's what I want you to get. This battle, we're not told about the weapons, but most likely what Michael uses to defeat Satan and his fallen angels is the truth. You and I need to use the truth of God's word. We see how important it is as we look at when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we see here in Ephesians chapter 6, we're living in dark times, and we need the weapon of God's word in order to defeat the attacks that come against you and I, and the temptation that comes against you and I. We need to know the word. We need to use the word. That's our weapon. That's the sword of the Spirit. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of the program, the CDs are free. We'll mail them to you. All you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write, be sure to include the date of the program you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Emler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.